It is a cold December night in 1944 on a rocky shoreline in northern Germany, lit only by a half moon. In the distance, a factory can be made out. An unusual sea vessel, fish-like in its design, bursts up from the water and beaches on the shore. The bow opens and a ramp slides out, followed by three male figures. Two are tall and well-built, while the third is shorter and leaner. The early winter sea air bites into the smaller one, making him pull his army jacket closer around his body.
Oh, no wonder the Krauts are so grumpy. This place is awful.
Actually, Germany's a beautiful place, Buck. It's just led by some less than great people right now.
Captain Steve Rogers, the man known as Captain America, steps up beside his younger compatriot. He is dressed in army fatigues as well. However, the red, white, and blue motif has been worked into his uniform. A star is emblazoned on his chest, and a large capital A has been painted onto his helmet. On his back is a large, round shield, and at his side is a holstered pistol. Bucky Barnes gives his partner a sidelong look, then rolls his eyes as he rubs some camo grease on his face.
Sure, Steve. Next you tell me Hitler is a great painter.
Captain Rogers, a word, privately.
The third figure steps forward from the shadow of the vessel. As King of Atlantis, Namor has a bearing about himself that is regal and imposing. His bronze skin sets him apart from his paler compatriots. Only dressed in a pair of scaly shorts and gold bracers, he is not bothered by the cold. The feathered wings at his ankles flutter in the winter air.
Go on a scout ahead, Buck. Intel says there shouldn't be any mines in the area, but still, watch your step.
You know me, Cap. Careful is my middle name.
The young man unslings his rifle and moves forward into the cover of the large rocks that litter the shoreline. Captain America turns to the other man.
If you're worried about me honoring my word, you shouldn't, Namor. We'll stop the creation of German U-boats and end their attacks on your people.
No, I know you are a man of your word, Steven. My concern, if we even dare to call it that, is for your young protégé. Are you sure it is wise to have him tagging along?
Bucky will be fine. He's a good soldier and a better friend. Speaking of tag-alongs, have you heard from Hammond recently? It's not like old Flame had to go radio silent.
No, but that matters little. Torch is formidable. I pity any human that attempts to take him on.
The two comrades in arms stand there in silence for a moment. The only sound is the lapping of the waves against the Atlantean vessel before the sound of a distant explosion echoes across the beach.
Very well, then. As you know, this is as far as I can go here. The facility is yours, Steven. Do not fail.
I never do.
Come on, Cap. Fury and his commandos are singing our song.
Right. Namor, it's time. I'll see you at the next battle.
Captain America shakes Namor's hand. Then he quickly bounds off the ramp. His powerful body moves as gracefully as a gazelle. In moments, he is gone.
Imperius Rex, Steven.
Namor walks up the ramp and goes inside his vessel. It disappears beneath the cold waters of the North Sea, leaving barely a ripple in its wake. In the time it takes Namor to leave, Captain America has reached his partner.
About time you showed up. What did old Hermes want?
Nothing you need to worry about. Focus on the mission, soldier.
Right. Sorry, Captain. Fury and his team are making one very big distraction at the front gates. We'll need to really hoof it to make it.
Without a word of warning, Cap picks up Bucky with one arm and carries him like a football as he rushes towards the factory. The duo quickly arrives at a tall fence with barbed wire spooled around the top couple of feet. There's a strong hint of ozone near the fence and a persistent buzz.
Careful, Cap! Jeez Louise, man, the uniform doesn't ride up that high!
Sorry, Buck. Can you take care of the fence?
Sure thing.
Bucky retrieves from his utility belt a pair of insulated wire clippers and gets to work. Slowly, he snips away at the thin wires. Soon, the metal fencing falls away to reveal a large hole that the two of them can slide through without issue. In the distance, they can hear the sounds of battle amping up.
Time to move, partner.
The duo raced for the back of the factory complex, taking the calculated risk of running across the empty expanse between the fence line and the buildings. Just as they approach the back door, a German soldier emerges from it, brandishing an MP-40.
Stoppt den amerikanischen Abschaum!
Captain America unslings his circular shield from his back and hurls it like a discus at the opposing soldier.
Not today, Kraut!
It catches him in the ribs just beneath the raised gun. Breath leaves his lungs in a sudden expulsion of air as his ribs crack from the force, dropping the soldier to his knees. Bucky is on him a moment later with a hard kick to the face, knocking him out cold.
I'm surprised anyone was back here.
There's probably more. Keep your eyes up and your ears open. Let's go.
Cap grabs the limp, but still breathing, enemy soldier and drags him inside. After checking his pulse, Cap props him up against the wall on the floor. Bucky rolls his eyes.
Why do you bother doing that? You know he wouldn't hesitate to plug you full of lead. Hell, he just tried to.
And if we'd been on the field of battle, I would've. But an instance of mercy can last a lifetime, James. Just because you can end a life.
Doesn't mean you should. How many times are you gonna quote that to me?
Till it sinks through that thick skull of yours. Now, let's move.
They try to move stealthily through the complex, but they also know they are racing against time. Fury's orders were to harry the Germans for as long as he could before pulling back, as to give the duo time to sabotage the factory. They make their way to the center of the production area, but pull up short as they realize something is very wrong.
Steve, what's a German bomber doing here in the middle of a U-boat factory?
That is because, my young friend, this is not an U-boat factory.
From beyond the shadow of the bomber materializes a tall, masculine figure clad in a uniform of royal purple. He has a spotted white fur cape clasped around his neck that falls to his boots. At his waist is a sheathed saber with an ornate handle. On his head is a heavy golden crown. Finally, a matching purple quilted mask covers his head and face fully, save for two white spots over the eyes. Even with his face covered, the American duo can see the arrogant smirk. Also appearing with him are a platoon of soldiers that were hidden throughout the central hangar. They level their machine guns at the Americans.
Heinrich Zemo, what are you doing here?
That is Baron Heinrich Zemo to you, Captain. Let me just say how wonderful it is that you willingly walked into my little trap. I was counting on your American arrogance, but it seems I underestimated your collective stupidity as well.
Says the man that trapped himself in a room with Captain America.
Bucky.
Come on, Cap, we can take these clowns.
Oh, my little friend. You have no idea what is going on. You are surrounded and this plane is loaded with my specialty nerve gas. We will set out for your capital, Captain, and we will break the very backbone of America. But with your death, we will break your spirit. We will end the war today.
One of the far walls explode inward and gunfire erupts as Sergeant Fury and his howling commandos burst into the hangar bay. With the distraction, Captain America grabs Bucky and forces him behind the cover of some wooden boxes as he blocks a spray of bullets with a shield.
Cap, what are you doing?
Getting you out of the line of fire. It's a good thing Fury is terrible at following orders.
Sure, but Zemo's getting away.
Heinrich Zemo is indeed capitalizing on the moment, motioning to his men to get the plane moving as he boards it. Its engines flare to life and the plane starts to taxi towards the opening entrance.
Looks like we have a plane to catch. Stay close, Bucky. We're going for a ride.
Bucky lets off a shot from his rifle, dropping a German combatant that has decided to rush them.
You got it, Cap.
The duo run for the moving plane. Captain America swivels and pivots as he uses his shield to block and bounce shots back towards the enemy soldiers, while Bucky lines up shot after shot until his trusty rifle runs out of ammunition. He quickly unholsters both his and Cap's sidearms as they continue to move.
Cap, we need a better plan.
Head for that motorcycle. We can use it to catch up.
the two veer and head for a motorcycle that has been left in the hangar. As fate would have it, whoever used it last left the keys in the ignition. With a flick of the switch, it roars to life. Captain America throws it into gear, and they take off after the plane, which is just beginning to make a turn for the runway.
Hang on!
He guns the engine just as more German soldiers arrive and level their guns at the super soldier and his partner. He does not blink and continues to barrel forward.
Cap! Cap!
However, Captain America has seen something that both Bucky and the soldiers have not. Bullets suddenly riddle the German line as Fury and his men provide them covering fire. The Germans dive for cover, which gives the motorcycle the hole they need to escape. Captain America snaps off a very quick salute as a thank you towards Fury while Bucky lays down some more covering fire.
Woohoo!
Now that's what I'm talking about!
Fight's not over yet, Buck.
Captain America revs the engine as they chase down Zemo and his airplane. They gain on it and come up on the landing gears.
Now, Bucky, jump!
The young man leaps for the landing gear and barely catches the hydraulic piston. The airspeed is increasing rapidly and nearly rips Bucky from it. But he tightens his grip and manages to hold on. He extends his arm back out to Captain America.
Come on, Cap!
Captain America readies himself and leaps for the landing gear, sending the motorbike careening away from the plane. He lands gracefully next to Bucky, then quickly helps Bucky up inside the plane as the wheels leave the tarmac. They brace themselves as they feel the plane take off.
All right, soldier. We have a plane full of nerve gas and enemies headed for the eastern seaboard. We have no backup, and it cannot reach its destination. We must stop it, no matter the cost. You ready?
I'm right behind you.
The two wait for the plane to level out. Then they begin to make their way up into the belly of the plane. Bucky slowly removes an overhead panel and checks for anyone nearby.
Coast is clear.
What part of the plane are we in?
I'd say the bombs sort of give it away.
Right. We need to sabotage them.
A German soldier enters the bay area and fires at them, then triggers an alarm.
New plan. You sabotage while I take out the soldiers.
On it.
The pair split up, and Captain America hurls his shield at the far wall, allowing it to ricochet into the enemy's back. The blow keeps him down long enough for Cap to close the distance and punch him unconscious. He also collects his shield.
One down, a lot to go.
The soldier that brings me Captain America's body will be rewarded.
Oh, great.
Captain America slowly and methodically works his way through the plane towards the cockpit, engaging purely in fisticuffs with the German soldiers on board. These men fight as if their lives depend on it, and it takes even America's best soldier more time than he thought to take them down. But finally, he reaches the cockpit and nullifies the pilot with a powerful shield bash. But now he has two problems. The plane begins to drift downward, and Zemo is gone.
No!
He reaches for the controls, and he tries to find the autopilot setting as he levels out the plane. Thanks to the super soldier serum coursing through his veins, German was one of the several languages he mastered in preparation for the war. He gets the plane level and flicks on the autopilot. A quick check at the coordinates indicates to him that they are much further north than he would have thought.
Now, to radio U.S. Central Command.
Not another move, Captain.
Captain America slowly turns his head to look over his shoulder. The sight chills the blood in his veins and for the first time makes him grimace. During Captain America's fight through the plane, Zemo had doubled back and found Bucky. He was now holding the barely conscious young man at gunpoint. Bucky had evidently put up a fight. He had a broken nose and a swelling, blackening bruise around his left eye.
Zemo, if you do anything to him, I'll make you regret it.
You meddling American moron. I hold all the cards now. You do as I say, and maybe I don't execute your little pet project right here. Now move away from the control panel, and...
Suddenly, Bucky throws a left-handed uppercut into Zemo's masked face and wraps that arm around the gun.
No!
Bucky slumps, and Zemo tosses him aside, as dark red blood trails down Bucky's left arm from the wound in his armpit. For the first time in his career, Captain America freezes as he sees his friend bleeding out and barely has time to react as Zemo whirls the gun towards him.
No, I will not let you take my destiny away from me.
Captain America gets the shield between him and the bullets, causing them to bounce off. But in his shock, he causes the bullets to hit the controls. The tiny metal bits destroy the radio and disengage the autopilot. The plane banks hard to port and tilts upward, throwing both combatants off their feet and causing Zemo to lose his gun.
I will be master of the world, and I will not be stopped by some costumed boy.
That's pretty funny, considering.
Bucky stands, catching himself on the entrance of the cockpit. He pulls a detonator from his right coat pocket. Zemo dies for it and him, pushing both men further back into the plane. Captain America moves to engage when Bucky's thumb flicks the button. Captain America is lifted off his feet by the shockwave and sent tumbling head over heels into the window of the plane. His shield cracks the glass behind him, but he manages to not go through the window. His ears ringing, his mind dazed, and his lungs filling with black smoke, he vainly tries to right himself.
No! Bucky!
The plane begins to go into a spin, sending Captain America off his feet again and plastering him to the ceiling. He looks up, hoping against the odds to see his friend, but all he can see is the cold night sky spinning madly over him. In the explosion, the plane has separated from the cockpit. The other soldiers, Zemo and Bucky, were all gone.
Bucky!
The nose of the plane slams into the freezing ocean waters, which burst through the weakened glass. The wave hits like a freight train, made worse by the icy temperature. Captain America's head snaps back with a force that would break a normal man's neck. But for the super soldier, it merely knocks him out. Steve Rogers' eyes flutter closed as the remains of the plane drag him under. His final thoughts of his best friend going out in a blaze of glory playing through his mind as he drifts off into oblivion.
The Avengers Audio Drama Season 1, Episode 1.5, 1944. Starring Joey Sorlis as Steve Rogers, Captain America. Josh Stout as James Bucky Barnes. Patrick Jaxis Conway as Baron Heinrich Zemo. Ryan Lawton as Namor, and Jenny McGuinness as the narrator. Adapted from Avengers number 4 by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. Written and directed by Mitch McFarlane. Art by Thomas Rippert. Marvel music covers provided by Niall Stenson. Other musical elements provided by Declan Gilgallon. Other royalty-free sound effects and music provided by freesound.org. Audio engineered by Joey Sorlis. Proofreading and script editing by Holly A.U. and Nathan Phoenix. Special thanks to the patrons of Cypher Productions and Carl Dutton. This episode and all Avengers episodes are produced in association with Rising Phoenix Productions. This is a fan-made production, all rights reserved, no copyright infringement intended. This season is dedicated with love and respect to Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, Larry Lieber, and Don Heck. Excelsior!